Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 826. It's the 13th of July, 2017. On the podcast today, I have Jerry Rendell, CEO of Venture Life Group, that's VLG, and Jerry goes over some of the highlights from their recently released trading statement. Plus, I also have Dave Reeves of Keras Resources, ticker there is KRS, and Dave discusses the high-grade gold intercepts from their maiden drill program at their Warrawoona project in Western Australia. I also have Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, talking about Angus Energy, Cadence, and flying brands. And as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top three most liked RNSs. And there's a joint number three. Exciting, eh?
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Jerry Rendell, CEO of Venture Life Group. That's VLG ticker. Jerry, thanks for joining me.
You're welcome, Chris.
Now, you've just released a trading update, and the stock price reacted positively, so we'll go through that and see why. And obviously, you're probably a bit pleased there, because it looks like an improvement all round. But before we do that, Jerry, for people not aware of Venture Life Group, can you explain what the business is all about, please?
Sure. We're a vertically integrated consumer self-care business, and we sell products for the aging population, and we sell them around the world in over 40 countries. We design them, develop them, manufacture them, and brand and do all the IP ourselves. They're assets that we own, and they're licensed on a long-term basis exclusively in each of the countries with each of the partners. So except for the UK, where we sell direct to pharmacies, everywhere else we use partners to do our selling for us. So they bear all the marketing costs and sales infrastructure costs.
Yeah, and I suppose you're a very good sector there, because as you know, we are an aging population, and so this sector of the market is growing, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, the ageing population is growing significantly. I mean, obviously, we're all ageing all the time, no matter what age we actually are. But the number of people over 60 will more than double by the time we get to 2050. And that's a combination of better education, better health, better diet, etc. But that puts a massive load on the healthcare services all around the globe. So we have to pay for more and more of that healthcare ourselves. We have to go to the pharmacies and buy the products and treat ourselves. And that's exactly where our products sit.
Well, that's an amazing stat. So people over the age of 60, the amount of people, it'll double by 2050, is that right?
Well, it's more than double. I think in 2015 it was about 800 million in the world, and it's predicted by 2050 to be 2.5 billion.
Wow. God. Well, there we are. There's a lot more scope in the ageing sort of population sector than we think. Okay, so you've had a trading update for the 6 months ended the 30th of June 2017. Take us through some of the highlights, please, Jerry.
Yes, I mean, the main thing is obviously the headline revenues are up. Mm-hmm. We're a business that's growing. Our products within our business are growing. We have a number of products within the range. We sell, as I say, in a number of different countries. We sell in the UK into particularly pharmacies, the main pharmacies such as Boots, Tesco's, Pharmacy, Superdrug, etc. We bought a new product last year called Ultradex. That's growing nicely in the UK. We also license some of our products out abroad. So we've seen an overall 28% headline increase in revenue, and we made the acquisition partway through last year. So even when you adjust that for a pro forma basis, we've seen 18% organic growth in this first half, which we're very pleased with.
Yeah, and so as I said, that was until the 30th of June there. But so, and what's it like at the moment? Business going forward here, is it good? Is it looking good?
Yes, yeah. I mean, we're growing, say, in the first half. We expect that to continue in the second half. It's a challenging environment at the moment. I mean, obviously, we've, as a country in the UK, we've had all the political and Brexit challenges. And I think globally, you know, business is challenging, but we're managing to grow in that environment. We sell a lot of our products in euros, and we have a lot of our cost base in euros. So for us, the weakening pound there hasn't had a big impact. But, you know, I think for UK-based businesses, it's harder. But I think it's challenging, but everyone's finding that. But we're, you know, we're delighted to be growing even in that environment.
Yeah, and are you still, I mean, when you're looking at, you know, new products and stuff, do you still have a look around? Are you still on the acquisition trail a little bit or not?
Yes, we are, very much so. I mean, we've had a very successful acquisition with Ultradex. We're a year into that now, and it's delivering on all the things we expected it to. And we're very much on the lookout for similar type of acquisitions, things that can add into our business quite smoothly, can be integrated well, can be manufactured at our factory, and can give us good incremental margin dropping through. So, yes, very much on the lookout.
Yeah, but I hate to mention the B word, you know, the Brexit, but I mean, What do you do in a situation like that? When there's so much uncertainty as to whether we'll get a deal or it'll be good for business, how do you prepare yourself? Or just, you know, to just focus on the product and get it out there? What do you do?
Well, I think the important thing for us is, as I said, 75% of our operations, both revenues and costs, are based in Italy and in euros. So that per se is not an issue. Obviously, where we manufacture products and ship it back into the UK, we've suffered a little bit because we're selling in the UK in pounds. But the UK is one of our best margin markets, and certainly the products we sell there are some of our best margin products. So we're still comfortably within our expected margin range there. I think essentially, if for a business like us, it's very international, it's not a big hit. I think if you're UK based only, then you've got to look at your pricing. You're going to have to look at you know, your customers and see if you can help to pass on those increasing prices. And I'm sure, in particular in the retail channel, the fashion side, that sort of thing will struggle more with that because they have an increase in prices for what they're buying in from outside of the UK, but it's very hard to pass that on to the consumer. As I say, we've got a lot of margin in what we make, and we're able to hold good margins without having to pass that on to the consumer.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the final 2 points here on your highlights in your trading update. And you've got 2 records there, highest month of revenue in June. Now, is this due to the seasonality, or do you see that the strength continuing?
Well, for our Biokosmes, our Italian business, which is a much older part of our business, much more established, those customers there have been there a long time. June is always one of the bigger months in the year anyway, because we close down the factory for a few weeks in August, so people like to get their orders in front. But nevertheless, even compared to the history of that business, it's still a record-breaking month for that business in the whole of its life, the last 30-odd years. And then for Ultradex, obviously we acquired that just over a year ago, and we've been investing in growing that business, advertising, freshening up the marketing, etc. And the big month in June is a result of that growth. We did have a marketing campaign in June as well, which helped towards that. But it's the general traction in that product that I think's helping. And in fact, today we've launched a number of new products into our main retailer, as we say there, and that's refreshed branding, refreshed packaging, and some new products in there. So that's moving very well, and we'd expect that to continue.
Excellent stuff. Well, Jerry, if someone's listening right now, they like the sound of this positive update, but they're not yet following you on Vox Markets, give them 3 reasons why they should hit that follow button, please.
Sure. I think the first reason I give is, as we've shown today, our revenues are growing. The business is growing. It became profitable for the first time last year, and obviously with growing revenues, we expect to continue that position. I think, secondly, we're in an interesting space. As I said, the aging space. There's fantastic market opportunity there. The people over 50 around the world own about 75% of the financial assets, so they've got the ability to pay for the products that we sell, and therefore we're in a great market with great consumers. And I think, finally, you know, you continue to see lots of news flow from us. We're a growing business. We have new products. We're getting new partners all the time. We're investing. It's an exciting place to be. And so there'll be news flow, which will obviously be positive for shareholders and good to follow. So I think those 3 together make it an interesting stock to follow. And on top, I'd say we're sat at about half of the market target share price for us. So a good place to get in.
Yeah, and also that you are yourself a major shareholder, so you have some skin in the game. So you're aligned with other shareholders, I suppose.
We do, across the board. We own 40% of the company. So, we've got a big stake in this still.
Marvellous. Jerry, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll chat again very soon. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Managing Director of Keras Resources, KRS ticker. It's Dave Reeves. You all right, Dave?
Very good. And yourself, Justin?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Yes, we were discussing sleep just then and how important it is for men of a certain age. But we
absolutely.
Are. We've got more interesting things to talk about today, Dave, and we'll get to the news in a bit because you've announced a maiden drill programme at the Warrawoona Project, and we'll get to that in a bit. But before we do that, Dave, as always, there's new people joining the podcast all the time and new people to invest in, and they may not have heard of Keras. So can you explain what Keras is all about, please?
Absolutely. Two main strings to our bow. We have a substantial shareholding in Calidus Resources, an ASX gold-listed company. And we've also got exposure to the high-growth and very exciting battery market through cobalt and manganese projects in Togo.
Marvellous stuff. Okay, well, let's go to the news you announced yesterday. And it was a high-grade gold intercepts for the maiden drill and at the Warrawoona Project. Take us through this, Dave, what this means and where you go from here.
Yeah, so this is the first six holes of the program. We'll be doing just under 100 holes, so it's, you know, very early days. But what we're doing with the first half of the program is infilling what we call a gap area between two existing resources that makes up 374,000 ounces. Mm-hmm. We're drilling it to an indicated spacing. That's the confidence we have in this area because, you know, all of this zone outcrops, we've sampled it, we've touched it, we've felt it, we've rolled in it. And so really it's just the tip of the iceberg and lots of results to come. And what we're aiming to do is to make that one continuous resource across about 3 kilometres in length, open at depth, and the basis to grow the company from.
Okay, and take us through some of the examples of some of the grades you had there. What do you get?
Yeah, so our first hole, which, you know, we didn't target specifically, it's just where the dozer started with a drill pad, 27 metres at 5.85 grams. You know, that's a phenomenal result for the first hole and got us very excited. But then lots of intercepts in all the other holes as well, which are probably more standard for the Klondike area, you know, between 1 and 3, 4 grams a tonne, anything up to 21 metres thickness, but multiple intersections down the hole. So we've got these series of stacked loads. It's not just one resource, it's a series of stacked loads. So when we're mining a pit, you know, we'll see probably 3 or 4 different zones that we'll be mining within that pit, helps reduce strip ratios. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is, I suppose some of the holes were, I suppose the holes were on the western part of this gap zone. And that's where we've started drilling and we'll progress eastwards with the results as they come out.
Yeah, and so someone listening right now, they're not quite sure. They understand that getting into resource stocks can be, you know, hugely profitable if you get it right, but they're not sure about grades of gold. So for you, what's commercially viable? What's the cutoff point for grades, grading, Dave?
The average open pit gold grade in Australia, I believe, is about 1.4 grams a tonne.
Okay.
It goes down to sort of I suppose the lowest I know of is about 0.9. You occasionally get some small pits up around, you know, 2-3 grams. But generally it's in that sort of mid ones is your standard grade. And our resource grade is, you know, in this area about 2.1. So it's quite a high grade, especially seeing it is outcropping. A lot of those deposits I talk about with those average grades, you know, they sit below this barren cover, so you actually have to dig through lots of waste to get to the ore zone, whereas we've got it sticking out of the surface.
Okay, all right. And so what's next here, Dave, and what's next on your other projects as well?
So lots and lots of drilling here. We'll be drilling for the next 2 to 3 months, churning out the meters. We've be doing met test work, starting on environmental, etc. And all of that is obviously leading to resource increase. We, as in Keras, have performance shares that once we get to 500,000 ounces of indicated resource, we get another 250 million shares or just under. That takes us to essentially 50% of that company. And then we've got a final tranche of performance shares on a pre-fees that on a undiluted basis would take us to around 60%. So, you know, it's very important that we achieve those milestones because that's where we get real value add for all our shareholders. In addition to that, we've been on the ground in Togo doing soil sampling in cobalt. So we're waiting on results to come back from there, and we continue negotiations and discussions with the government of Togo on the manganese and getting a mining permit there.
Marvellous. OK, and by the way, people can see a pictorial representation of your maiden drill programme at Warroon on your page on Vox. I had that yesterday, there's a link there, a PDF there, you can see that, and it brings it to light. It really shows what's going on there. So, Dave, if anyone's listening right now and they like the areas you're in but are not following you, could you give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox, please?
Sure. So number one, news flow. We're going to have vast amounts of news flow coming out of the gold, the cobalt, and the manganese. I personally certainly see a current disconnect between the Keris share price and the Calidus share price. Calidus is up, 25% from listing. And during that time, Keris has slipped back, I think, about 5%. So there's a disconnect there and an opportunity. I think another thing to highlight is management. We've just converted a lot of loans, etc., into Keris shares. We certainly see this as the start of a very exciting period. We hope others do too.
Marvellous stuff. Dave, good to speak to you. And hopefully speak again very soon. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. You're all right, Al.
I'm very good, Jess. How are you?
I'm all right, can't complain. If I do complain, the missus doesn't listen, she just walks away.
Yeah, I know. It's a husband's lot, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I follow her and still complain. A yard behind her, follow around the house and complain, but she doesn't listen, just carries on ignoring me. And we spend most of the evening like that, just me following her, complaining, her ignoring me. It's a wonderful relationship when we've got used to it.
Well, that's why all these TV box set series are such huge successes nowadays, because basically it allows husbands and wives to sit together in the evening and not talk to each other and just focus on a life elsewhere via a TV box series.
Yeah, I was going to say that, she watches box sets. I don't. I sit next to her complaining, and she says, "Stop complaining, I'm watching a box set." And she finds the company of box sets a lot better than my company. So there we are. So that's how I think it's a marriage made in heaven.
I've been married for a few years, and now we just sit and watch box sets quietly side by side. And, I think, she's given up, really. She just accepts that I'm going to be the way I am, she's going to be the way she is. So the box set kind of allows us to meet in the middle, really. Yeah. But there we go.
Let's talk about more important things in life than love and marriage. Let's talk about stocks, Al, because let's get the real nub of the life. Okay, so what are you chatting about today, Al?
Okay, three companies are looking at today. There's one company that's really eclipsed all others over the past couple of weeks, which is Angus Energy, ANGS. Mm-hmm. Want to look at that and discuss what a phenomenal stock it's been. Also want to revisit Cadence Minerals, KDNC. That's the rare earth metals company, the lithium producer, and also a company that came out to market recently called Flying Brands, FBDU, which owns the Stone Checker software.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I know two of those, three of them, quite well, but let's go for Angus thing. So I wrote a blog about these, I don't know, a while back, when I first wrote about these, I think it was like November last year, before they came to market, and I said this is worth looking at because they've got a production license in the Weald Basin, and UCOG don't have a production license, and remember, this is very valuable, and I said look at the current problem, Egdon, Union Jack Oil and Upland Resources are getting a production license in North Lincolnshire. The council have turned them down twice, and so it takes a lot of time, a lot of effort to get a production license, and Angus, in one what seems to be hugely prolific, has lots of resource, oil resource, hopefully underground there, could be getting this out and selling it straight away, this.
Well, it's incredible.
Paul Vonk's been on the podcast saying this summer. So this.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I think they've been saying. I mean, of course, they have the Brockham, the Brockham oil field, which is the key project. They have the Lidsey oil field, which is down in West Sussex, and also they've got the Holmwood prospect too. But Brockham's expected to yield up to 150 barrels of oil per day, and that's from the Kimmeridge reservoir. And of course, as with all of the UK or the recent UK oil assets, It involves fracking to a degree, although there is, I think, with Brockham, the company says that the Kimmeridge reservoir is naturally fractured, which allows
They don't need a frack. They say it's naturally fractured, so they won't need a frack. I mean,
that's right.
150 barrels is not from the you know where they. Where they're exploring to, but that, you know, as you know, the oil flow from UK oil and gas, the same layer, was what they have about 1,600 barrels a day. They flow from there. It was a short flow test, UK oil and gas, and they flow test because, of course, they just got exploration license. But I mean, when they do the Brockham one, they don't need a flow test. They'll sell anything they can get straight away. They can sell.
So
hang on, let me get this right. The 150 barrels a day will be from the Portland sandstone, the Kimmeridge, which they're dribbling into. That's where the naturally fracked reservoir is, and there could be a lot more down there. So that
could be a lot more down there.
That's the exciting bit. Yeah.
And then, of course, Lidsey, which was first discovered back in 87, could yield up to 250 barrels of oil per day as well. So, I mean, based on if we're looking at just 400 barrels of oil a day, sort of within the next 18 months, that's £6.5 million a year. And of course, the Holmwood prospect is it's near to Brockham. It taps into the same geology underneath the ground, as it were. So there could be an awful lot more to come there. But I think what the company's proven is that from coming to market last November, it's got an oil resource that's going to be in production pretty well, as you say, this summer. It came to market at 6p. It's currently trading at, I think, 26p, and that's after having shot up last week. And I think that was...
Hang on, right now it's 28.8, as I'm looking.
28.8, okay. Well, it dipped off again early this morning, but it went back up again. So it's back up again. I haven't got the live price in front of me. But, this is a real... It looks to be a real potential 10 bagger, and I think anyone getting involved in small cap stocks, you're looking for companies to invest in. This is a marvelous example of how, when everything comes together, how investing in a small company can be fantastically rewarding. But really, I mean, the company's got a valuation now of somewhat 50 to 60 million sterling. If the projections on growth for production continue to rise, I mean, this could be just the start. Even investing at this level, the company is likely to offer great value further down the road. And of course, producing at this level, it's very likely before too long that it could attract the attention of some of the major oil producers, perhaps even like Shell or BP, that could look at it and say, hey, you know, we've got to have a piece of this action. And of course, if they do come in, given the rate of growth of the company, the chances are that the offer will be at a substantial premium to where it is now. But of course, that's not happened yet. So that's pure speculation on my part. But even so, it is a very exciting prospect indeed.
Yeah, well, I was in the first gate there, when it first launched, so I'm doing quite well on those shares. So that's nice. What else are you looking at, Al?
Okay, so you've also had the CEO of this company, Cadence Minerals, KDNC. Kieran was on recently. We've also discussed this before. Now, Cadence have a series of rare earth minerals projects, primarily producing lithium. They have seven projects on the go. They have they're involved with the Sonora project in lithium project in Mexico, with a net project value worth of $800 million. They've got a 6% stake in that, worth some $48 to $50 million, and that's based on lithium valued at $6,500 per ton of lithium carbonate, and that price is it's based on a very conservative estimate in price, because lithium prices are going up all the time. But the company is also developing the Sinovet project with European Metals Holdings, which is in Czechoslovakia. The Sinovet project again has a net project value of $540 million. Cadence have a 21% stake in European Metals Holdings, which equates to about 113 million. Again, based on a low price for lithium carbonate, which is important to remember. They've also got a 7.7% stake with Orop Minerals in the Tisova mine in the Czech Republic. This produces cobalt, copper, and gold. What they're trying to do, Kieran Mazzaria has talked about this and said that the European car manufacturers are looking to centralise their production, basically from source out of the ground through to getting the car in the showrooms and out of the door. Volvo, of course, the other day announced that it will be switching to all electric or hybrid vehicles by 2019. So all these companies will not want to buy the lithium in from abroad. If they can source it locally, they will do so. And Cadence has invested in this hub within the center of Europe that's going to be producing lithium and the component technology metals for the car industry of the future. It also has projects in Australia. It's got a stake in the Anjibana project. It has a stake in the MacArthur Stonewall lithium project in Nevada. So Kate, what Cadence is trying to do is to create these hubs around the world where it can be a local source of rare earth metals for the new technology companies, particularly the car industry that's emerging in that area. The company's valued on a mark-to-market basis around 30 million sterling at the moment, compared to a company that may be invested into one project with Cadence spread of risk across the number of projects, and that's late stage projects like the Sonora project, where there's already a takeoff arrangement in place with Hanwha batteries from Japan, through to the early stage projects like the MacArthur Stonewall lithium project. The spread of risk in itself warrants a premium to the valuation, which isn't currently being applied. So certainly at the current sort of 0.35p, I think Cadence makes an extremely sound and solid investment for the future. It is, if you like, almost like investing into a fund for lithium and rare earth and technology metals going forward for the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've got to say that there are a low here in the chart, and you've got to say, and I like looking, trying to find bottoms. Sometimes I'm not successful, but it's one of these things that where it's in a relative strength, it's oversold, and so sooner or later this will have a bounce, and so it's worth just putting in your watch list. Do the research while you're looking at the chart, because those two, I mean, you can get technical traders, you get fundamental traders or investors. But I like to put the two together, I mean, if the fundamental is looking good and the chart is coming around, it's a compelling story there. So it's worth keeping an eye on the chart there as well as doing some research on the company, I think,
It is. If you actually go to the company website, which is cadenceminerals.com, there's a great resource of information there. There are several analyst notes. Also on the branduk.net website, there's a page for Cadence Minerals with all the recent announcements and notes, stories and interviews. And there's a great interview that's also on the Cadence website with IGTV Jeremy Naylor, where Kieran just discusses where the company is. He discusses the various projects. I think, he gives a very good overview of where the company is. So, yes, as you say, just do your own research on this company. But it's got a very exciting future.
Mm. Okay, cool. What's next? What are you looking at?
Okay, so looking at Flying Brands now. Of course, we discussed Feedback PLC in the past, which Feedback owns the proprietary Texrad software, which is medical imaging software, which has multiple applications for analysing tumours and medical conditions and spotting anomalies and problems that the naked eye can't pick up. Now, Flying Brands is a company that owns Stonechecker, which is a company that's focused on bringing on products to help solve the condition of kidney stones, which is it's something that some 300 million people worldwide suffer from every year. Stonechecker has the an exclusive license to use Texrad for analysing kidney stones around the world. So that's under license, and obviously that's an arrangement that will push revenues and royalties Texrad's or Feedback's way as well. And it also has a urine screening program, which to again help clinicians and doctors diagnose correctly the condition in this case. Flying Brands came back to market. I suspect it was the stock was suspended while the reverse takeover of Stonechecker took place, and I suspect that there may be a name change at some point in the future. But the CEO of the company, of course, is Trevor Brown, and Trevor has quite a history. He was involved with advanced oncotherapy at an early stage, also a former director at Feedback PLC, and he's brought this back to market with a number of his colleagues. And of course, the company is worth a couple of million quid at the moment. It came back and it came back from suspension, bounced as high as 4.5p, and came back down to around two to 2.5p, and then but it's back up at 3p now, I believe. So the company is very early stage. It's got a tiny market cap, but with the people involved and with the technology that's involved, and also the size of the market. Okay, 300 million patients worldwide. That's a pretty big marketplace. This little company's got a very exciting future.
Yeah, interesting. I quite like Flying Brands. Smudge Dan has been on the podcast a couple of times talking about those, so it's worth a look at that, I think. But everything here in this podcast is just information. It's not intended as investment advice. Please do your own research. Al, thank you very much. Speak next week, fella.
Thanks, Charles. Speak next week. Cheers. Bye for now.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, New Oil and Gas, that's Newog. At four, Premier Oil, PMO. At three, had them on the podcast yesterday, Highlands Natural Resources, H&R. At two, Carillion, of course, big stock fall up there, gone down by about 50% in the last couple of days, at CLLN. And at number one, the most followed stock, we just talked about with Alan, actually, covered them on the podcast, and I've had them on the podcast, I think, start of last week, Paul Vonk, Managing Director of Angus Energy, the most followed company on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. Okay, top three most liked RNSs, and there's a joint number three, so there's actually four RNSs. At three, Sunrise Resources, that's SRES, a CS Project Drilling and Trenching Update. At three, SDX Energy, that's PDMR Dealing. At two, it's Proxarma, that's Contract Renewal from Prox. And number one most liked RNS on the platform this morning was from Providence Resources. That's a license update to SEL 1/11. I don't know how you say that, but it's the exploration license there for Barry Rowe for Providence Resources. Got a lot going on there at the moment, PVR, haven't they? They're doing the spud at the moment of Drombeg and Druid, which is a 5 billion barrel of oil prospect resource there. So it'll be interesting to see what results they get from that, which is a cracking deal, a farming deal there. But it takes about, was it 6 to 8 weeks, I think, to drill, maybe? Or less than that, maybe. But I'm highly excited. I do hold a bit of stock in Providence Resources. I've written a blog on them previously, and I'd be interested to see the updates on that there. Anyway, that's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciatos.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.